So the last time I was here, we spoke about the first two excuses that Moses gave God after God had called him from the burning bush. You guys still remember this? God called him from the burning bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses was so excited at the first, right? When God told him what he was about to do or what he wants him to do, Moses was like, oh, wait a second, God gave two excuses. What was the first excuse? You remember? Who am I? Who am I? Why would you send me to go speak to the leader of the world at that point in Egypt? Who am I? I'm just a shepherd. I'm nobody. All of a sudden, Moses kind of retreated from his position of being excited. He retreated because of what God was calling him to do. That was the first excuse, right? Who am I? And what was the second excuse? Who are you? All right? That was the second excuse. Moses said to God, what if they ask me what your name is? I don't know what to say. Remember? I don't know what to say. So if you look at both of those excuses, I said that both of those excuses were rooted in unbelief. Moses did not believe that God was able to work in and through him because his focus was on his own capabilities. I can't do this, God, because I'm only a shepherd. I'm nobody. Right? So when he heard God, what God wanted him to do, that's what he said. Who am I to do these things? I'm just a lowly shepherd. What was God's reply? Don't worry, I will be with you. Right? I will be with you. Now, Moses' reply to that was, you know, should have been, thank God, now I will go. That wasn't the reply. Moses' reply to that was, great, but I don't even know your name. That was his reply. If they ask me what your name is, I don't know what to say. This is the second excuse of Moses, which is again rooted in unbelief, that he didn't know what to say when the Israelites were to ask him, who is the God that sent you? What is his name? God's reply is what? I am. Tell them I am who I am. I am the God of your forefathers. But even before that, even what they were, God said, I am. I said, if you remember, that the name of God, the I Am, is very significant because it tells us that God just exists. He wasn't created. He had no start. He will have no end. Right? He just is. Right? Therefore, if that's who he is, he can be trusted at his word. Somebody who has no start or no end must know everything. Right? And if he's, remember I said this to you guys 2 weeks ago, God is outside of time. Like, he's here now, and he's also 10 years from now. if that's God, and he knows, then he knows everything, right? He's omnipresent. That's why he's omnipresent. Right? He's everywhere because he just exists. He's the I Am. If that's him, then he can be trusted at his word. Then if you read verses 16 to 22, we didn't focus on this, but let's take a look at it now. God gave Moses a detailed explanation of what he wants him to do and say, right? It's the three specific groups of people, all right? If you read 16 to 22, the first message, or sorry, 16 to 18, the first message that God wanted Moses to bring was to the Israelites. Let's take a look at it. Exodus 3:16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And in 18a, and they will listen to your voice. Now, if you read that, okay, that's the first message that God wanted Moses to send. It was to who? To the Israelites, right? Now, if you notice, most of the message contains God's promises. I will get you out of Egypt. I will send somebody to rescue you, right? The great I Am was the one who promised, so they are as good as fulfilled. That's what it means to be the great I am. If you promise to do something, you already know it's going to get done. Otherwise, you wouldn't promise. Why? Because again, God is everywhere, all the time, every time. So that's God. And that's the one that made the promise to the Israelites. So that promise is as good as fulfilled. The next message God wanted to Moses to deliver was to the king of Egypt, second part of verse 18, all the way to 20. It says there, they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, what? The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. 19, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. And 20, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. So God pretty much just summarized the whole of Exodus for us. Well, one third of it for us. That's what he's going to do, and that's the message that he wants Moses to send to the king of Egypt. Right? Let my people go, otherwise I will stretch out my hand. All right? And then the last message, I know we're not, that's a whole sermon, that one thing right there. But I'm not going to go through it. I want you guys to just read it on your own. We'll focus on the wider context of this of these passages. Okay. Last message that God wanted to send Moses, or wanted Moses to deliver, are instructions for the Israelites as they prepare to leave Egypt, verses 21 and 22. Let's read it again. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Right? You shall plunder the Egyptians. What's the significance of the I am, again, to these detailed instructions or messages that God wanted Moses to deliver? Like I said earlier, if God is who he says he is, then these instructions or messages are really a foretelling of what God is about to do through Moses. Whether it be promises to the Israelites or threats to Pharaoh, God the I Am can be trusted to fulfill each and every one of these promises and these threats, just as he had told them to Moses. All Moses had to do was what? Believe it and go. Believe and go. That's it. Right? Now again, after hearing God's response to his second excuse, how does Moses respond back? Okay. Was Moses convinced of God's ability to fulfill all of his promises? No. After saying all that, God, I'm going to do this through you. I'm going to, I'm going to stretch out my hand or my arm to the king of Egypt. You're going to plunder the Egyptians. All you have to tell him is that let my people go. Did he believe? And after hearing what God's name is, did he believe? No. Well, he had doubts. Okay, see, let's put it that way. Instead, what did Moses do? Come up with another excuse. Now, people are sitting there saying, what's wrong with this guy? Yeah, you look at yourself. Look at ourselves. We're excuse factories. Aren't we? We come up with any excuse not to do it, not to do whatever it is that people or God is calling us to do. But Moses is the same way. But let's look at his excuse now. After all that, first two excuses, Moses comes up with a third excuse. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Now, what is there to notice first in that verse? So if you notice, okay, first set of excuses had to deal with Moses' own unbelief or his lack of faith in God and who God is. That was the first two excuses. This second excuse, this next excuse, is also rooted in unbelief, but this time it's in the unbelief of the Israelites. You see what Moses is doing now? Not just me, I don't believe that I could do this, but I think they also don't believe that I could do this. He's not pointing fingers to the unbelief of the Israelites, or we could say Moses' assumption of the unbelief of the Israelites. He doesn't know that they're not going to believe. How does he know? He's not God. But he's already assuming that they're not going to believe. God, they're not going to believe. I don't care if I say that I am. I don't care if I tell them all these things. These people are not going to believe. How does God respond this time? God gives Moses three signs, right? Three evidences that once again displays God's power so that the Israelites might believe in Moses and listen to him, and so that Moses himself might believe and obey God's call. So there's two purposes for these signs. The unbelief of Moses and the unbelief of the Israelites to help them believe. God gave them these signs. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take up the signs. What are the signs that God gave Moses for him to believe and for the Israelites to believe? And when we talk about these signs, what do they mean for us today? Okay, what do they mean for us today? Let's start. That was just the intro. Now starts. What's 16 minutes? Already, intro. Okay, let's start. What was the first sign that God gave Moses? Exodus 4:2. Can you guys read that? Oh, you don't have? Okay, right there. Can you guys read it? Okay. Keep going, all the way to 5. Okay. So God, this is the first sign. God said, what's in your hand? Staff. Okay? I'll turn into a snake, grab it by the tail, it's going to turn back into a staff. The snake was so real, and in fact it was a real snake, that Moses ran from it, right? You read that part. So it became a real snake, from a staff to a real snake. Now, first thing, I want you guys to picture this while we're going through it. What does the staff look like, first of all? Okay. What does the staff look like? It's a shepherd's staff. Typical shepherd's staff look like this. Ooh, supposed to move this way. It's like a cane, like a candy cane. Now, in that picture, it looks skinny and small, like a little stick, but it's really thick. Okay, there's another picture. Yeah, that's more like it. That's more shepherd's staff. Now, what's with the hook? To hook those matitigas na ulo na sheep, right? Alis nang alis, kulit. What's the other side is pointy, too, right? What's that for? Same for the same sheep. Like, what's wrong with you? Stop moving all over the place, right? That's what it's for. Now, why is it so thick? Because, first of all, he uses it to support his weight when he's walking, right? And second of all, he uses it to protect the sheep. I mean, he has to go fight off some wild creatures. There's many uses for this very simple staff, or rod as far as shepherding is concerned. Again, it's a walking stick. It's used to protect the sheep from wild animals. It's used to guide the sheep from going astray. And note that the staff is just a piece of wood. Dead wood. There's nothing special about it. They didn't get it from a magic tree. It's just a piece of wood. Anything could be turned into any piece of wood could be turned into a staff. Right? So now why does God use the shepherd's staff or rod as a sign? The first sign for the Israelites to believe that Moses was sent by him. And for Moses to believe that God says who he says he is. That is him. That God is the I am. Is it because of what the rod or the staff can do, especially at the hands of a shepherd? Is it because it's like a multi-tool? It's not just for walking, it's for everything else. Or is it because of the simplicity of the staff itself? It's so simple, it's just a piece of dead wood. Or could it be for both reasons? I believe that the staff or the rod of Moses was used by God for the fact that it is only a long piece of dead wood that found its use and purpose in the hand of its owner. Let me say that again. I believe the staff was used by God as a sign of his power in order to enable or help the Israelites believe, and Moses believe, for the fact that it is only a long piece of wood. It's just a simple piece of wood that found its use and purpose in the hands of its owner. By itself, it could just be a stick or even firewood. In the hands of a shepherd, it could do and accomplish all kinds of things. Ryken comments this, and I quote, "God used a stick to show Moses how he can use something ordinary to accomplish his extraordinary purpose." Piece of stick. Right? So not only does God use the staff as a sign to help the Israelites believe, but again, God was also talking to Moses' own unbelief in using the staff. So if you look at the staff from God's perspective, okay, from God's perspective, Moses was the staff. Moses was the staff. Someone normal like you and me, someone who outside of God's hands and God's use was more than just a runaway murderer. That's who Moses was at this point. He was a runaway murderer. But in the hands of the Almighty God, Moses will become someone who can lead a people, someone who can stand up against an empire, someone who can be a rescuer. So outside of God's hands, Moses is just stick. But in God's hands, he's something else. Stood up against an empire, wiped out a whole army by himself. You believe that? In God's hands, that's what God can do with a piece of dead wood. So now when we hear that, I hope you don't just hear it, but listen to what I'm trying to say here. When you hear that God is a God who can make use of a simple, normal stick and use it for something extraordinary, like parting the Red Sea, I hope that this will get us to look at ourselves and the excuses we tend to make every time we are called by God to do his work. Okay? Back to the topic. Excuses. Look at what God can do with a staff. Now, what excuse do you have? It's dead. It's a piece of stick. Meanwhile, when God calls us to do his work, all kinds of excuses start coming out. Right? If God can use an ordinary stick, and again, let me add, a dead stick of wood to part the Red Sea, just think about what God can do through you. If you just place your life in his hands and trust in him as you obey to do his will for your life. What can God do through me? Right? For the second milers. Right? How? I'm a second miler. I'm done. I've already done what I'm supposed to do. I'm in my 80s, 70s. Can God do anything through me? Are you more than a piece of dead wood? If you say no, then we might as well just go straight to the cemetery. Let's bury you right now. Are you more than a piece of dead wood? My mom said, no, yes, I'm more than a piece of dead wood. Don't say no. And ask it again. Are you more than a piece of dead wood, second milers? Yes, I'm more than a piece of dead wood. What? I'm more than a piece of dead wood. That means if God can use a dead piece of wood, He could definitely do something with you. Do you get that? Everybody's, are you more than a piece of dead wood? No. What's up? You are. You're more than a piece of dead wood, second milers. If God can use an ordinary stick, how much can He do through you? If you would just place your life in His hands and trust Him as you obey to do His will for your life. And listen, I believe that God would have used anything here that Moses had in his hands in order to prove this point, right? Moses could be holding a toothpick or a pair of chopsticks, right? Moses could have been holding a pair of chopsticks and God says, what's in your hand? Just a pair of chopsticks. And not even the good chopsticks, the ones for the takeout, the one you have to break, right? God could use that. He could use that to part the Red Sea or to whatever He did with the staff, turn the water. Well, He didn't use the staff to turn the water into blood. But God can use even a pair of chopsticks. But that's the point. The point is that God could use anything. And the point is that it's not about the stick. It's about what God can do with the stick. I know a lot of people who always sell themselves short when it comes to serving God. I know a lot. Some of you are here. I'm not going to name names, obviously. Right? They always sell themselves short when it comes to serving God. They always see themselves, I'm not good enough. I don't have the right gifts. Or I don't have enough gifts to do God's will. If that's you, you're missing the point. Ministry is never about the stick. It's never about you. But what God can do through you. Amen? Okay? And that's where our faith in God comes in. If you truly believe in the power of God, the God who is the I Am, then we have to trust that no matter how impossible the task He is calling us to do, we're just a stick. Ultimately, it's not up to you to get things done. It's up to God. Okay? You leave the stick on the side of the road, it just stays there. A lot of us are that. We're just sticks on the side of the road. When God tries to grab us, we run away. No, don't use me. I'm just a stick. It's not up to you when it comes to getting things done. It's up to God. Now, that's the first thing to notice. Another thing to notice as to why God used the staff. As a sign to overcome the unbelief of the Israelites and the unbelief of Moses, is the fact that the staff was already in the hands of Moses. You guys notice that? God asked, what's in your hand? Moses said, a staff. He was already holding a staff in his hand when God asked him, what's in your hand? Okay? God did not give Moses a magic staff. Like in Harry Potter. They have those little wands, right? Moses didn't get a wand. He had a staff in his hand and God used it. That's why I said earlier, he could have had chopsticks in his hand and it would have been the same thing. Because it wasn't about the staff, it wasn't about Moses, it was about what God can do through Moses and his staff. So now, the fact that the staff was already in his hand, what does that mean for us? Okay? Think about it. Most of the time when God calls us to ministry, our excuse is about the things we lack. Similar to Moses' excuses. Come to prayer meeting. Oh, I don't have time. Lead a Bible study. Oh, I don't have enough. Preach. Oh, I can't do that. I'd rather sing. Oh, you know who you are. Right? It's always about the things that we are lacking. Always, this excuse is always about the things that we're lacking. Whether it's talent or gifts or time or money, our excuses to get out of doing ministry are almost always about the things that we lack. Now, what God's use of the staff teaches us is that God can make use of us just as we are. Whatever you have in your hand right now, or whatever you possess, God can make use of it in His work. So when God asks you, what's in your hand? What are you going to say? Nothing? You don't possess anything? You have breath, right? Everybody here can breathe still? I have breath, Lord. What can you do with my breath? Well, first you have to brush your teeth, and then you can do something about it. I have breath, Lord. I'm still alive. What can you do? I can't see too well. I can't hear. Too well. Remember Ecclesiastes? I don't walk fast now. My legs are weak. My arms are weak. My eyesight's weak. I'm bald. Right? Remember Ecclesiastes? I'm old. I don't have any more teeth. But I can still breathe. What can you do with that? What's God going to say? Nothing. I can have you breathe on those people who are sleeping. Instead. No. God said to Moses, what's in your hand? What do you have? What do you possess? What are you holding right now? I can make use of that. You don't lack anything, right? When it comes to ministry, when you think about it that way, we don't lack anything. God will work with whatever we have in our hands, or in other words, God will work with whatever we already possess. So you say, I can't sing. Well, maybe God can give you that. Maybe God can use you somewhere else. Right? But He will work with what already we have, with what already we possess, what we already possess. Right? Look at it in Scripture. When God fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, did they have to go to Costco? Okay, go to Costco first. Buy some, I want smoked salmon, okay? I don't want the regular fish. I want the good bread. I want vegan stuff for the vegan people in the crowd. No. Who did he ask first when he fed? The disciples, right? What do we have? Fish and bread. That's it. Prayed for it. Boom. Fed 4,000. Next time, the little boy. What do you have? Fish and bread again. It's always fish and bread. Multiplied. Whatever they had, God worked with. Right? What about us? What do we have? Like, I didn't know that I had this until God called me to do this. And I took this step of faith to actually do it. I didn't know. I hated teaching. They were asking me to be deacon when I was younger. I said, no. Why? Because I don't want to stand up here and speak. I don't even want to do announcements. I don't want to pray in public. They're who here? Every time you ask them to pray in public, no. Not me. Right? Because that's us. We always look at what we lack. But God said, no, you don't lack anything. Whatever you have in your hands, whatever you possess right now, I can make use of. So when the next time somebody calls you to pray, all right? Don't think, oh, my English is not very good. Or I'm not eloquent enough. I can't express myself clearly enough. Listen, God will make use of whatever you have, and it is only through His power that your prayer will be made effective anyway. You think that when you pray like, remember when you pray like the Pharisees, you use big words and loud voice, you think that makes a difference? No. Or when you get the pastor to pray for your food, you think you're not going to get fat? You still will. I have no power to. Because always people, okay, we can't eat until the pastor gets here because he has to pray for the. Why me? I'm still fat. I pray for my food every day. It's God's power that does it through you. So when somebody asks you to pray, and this is the most simple thing, right? Somebody asks you to pray, pray. Pray in your language, pray in your dialect, pray whatever. Or just say, Jesus, thank you for the food. That's it. That's all you got. God will work with it. Amen. That's the most simple illustration I could give you. Right, now you get to ministry and teaching and same thing. Whatever I got, Lord, take it, use it, spend it. Amen? So now back to our original question. How does God respond to the third excuse of Moses and the Israelites so that the Israelites might believe in him and that so Moses might believe as well? His response were through three powerful signs. First sign was what? Shepherd's staff or the rod. Second sign was what? Leprosy. Right? If you want to hear about that, come back next week. We don't have enough time. We'll talk about that next week. It's a pretty big topic. So we'll talk about that. But think about it. What does a leprosy, him putting his hand in his pocket, leprosy come out, put his band back, leprosy is gone. What kind of sign is that? That God is a healer? Yes. What else? There's got to be some more to that. Right? Come back next week for that. But I hope this week, I hope I encourage you enough to not look at yourself too low because it's not about you. You're just a stick. We're all just sticks. But in God's hand, we could be something even more. Amen? Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you.